Illicit arms flows are contributing significantly to the increasing proliferation of armed groups and vicious violence, wreaking havoc in communities and disrupting livelihoods from the creeks of the Niger Delta to the drylands of the north. The scale of the problem is evident in the arms and ammunition displayed by these armed groups or recovered by security forces during operations. In early June, the army said it had recovered over 700 small arms and light weapons in states like Katsina, Zamfara, Sokoto, and Kebbi in the northwest of the country, where terror groups riding on motorcycles continue to terrorize the local population. Earlier in April, the army also reported the recovery of about 517 small and light weapons in Plateau and Kaduna states in the north central and northwest of the country. These weapons, ranging from factory-produced assault rifles and shotguns, locally fabricated long-barrel guns and pistols, were handed over to the National Center for the Control of Small Arms and Light Weapons. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Maryam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with my colleague Murtala Abdullahi, who is also the head of the Armed Violence Desk at Human Angle.
Thank you, Maryam. These frequent seizures by security forces clearly show why silencing the gun is an integral part of tackling the insecurity in Nigeria. Today, we'll be discussing the trends around armed proliferation, as well as the steps that are required to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals, particularly Goal 16.
So achieving SDG 16, particularly the components involving combating violence and organized crime, is interlinked with the ability of authorities to curb the flow of illicit arms.
That's actually accurate. Similarly, arms control is a vital part of achieving the African Union initiative to silence illegal weapons in the continent by 2030. The issue with arms flow in the country is that there are local factors that drive the market that need why people need these firearms. Then you also have other factors that facilitate the trafficking and acquisition of these weapons. So, for example, you have transnational smuggling sources that provide some of these weapons. Then some other weapons are acquired through the loss of those owned by state authorities.
This complexity explains the diverse nature of firearms often recovered from these armed groups. Your recent report spotlighted the presence of smuggled shotguns and assault rifles captured or stolen from security forces, particularly the police, as part of the weapons used by the separatist group in southeast Nigeria. Is there a difference between the weapons in that region and other places?
So when you look at it, despite the diversity in the weapons profile across the country, there are still similarities. So for example, the presence of foreign pump action shotguns and locally fabricated guns have also been seen in the northwest, with the armed groups there. So also in the northeast, we have seen them with the militias that are supporting security forces. Similarly, the loss of state-owned firearms is a national problem caused by several factors, including attacks on security forces and positions, in addition to illegal transfer and sale of these arms and munitions.
Okay. The control of small arms proliferation appears to be a task that would require multidimensional efforts to disrupt the supply chain. We should also not forget that addressing the conflicts and violent crimes which attract the arms flows is essential. That would involve interventions including better policing and governance. What would you say are the specific measures required to curb arms trafficking?
Yeah, like you earlier stated, really, there has to be also the better policing and governance component. To disrupt, actually, authorities need to understand the movement of these illicit arms, B, beyond just the normal acknowledgement that there's a link between illegal weapons, violence, and insecurity. So one of these steps will actually involve documenting, tracking, and mapping of weapons that have been recovered by security forces to understand their journey, especially from the source to where they were recovered. Others will be better identification, tracing, recording, and publication of information on these weapons. So we only hear about weapons that have been seized, but there's not much that is done to enhance transparency and accountability. We also need a better management and protection of state weapon stockpile, better armories, and also ensuring that we eradicate the loss and diversion that has become a reoccurring problem. This is a matter of national emergency when you look at it, because recently there was this disclosure of a review that was done by the Attorney General's office, and it found out that there was thousands of firearms, including AK pattern weapons, belonging to the police that have gone missing.
Thank you, Murtala. This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Maryam Mustafa. Join in next week for another episode. Members of our production team are Murtala Abdullahi, Anthony Asemuta, and Tracy Allen Izichuku. The executive producer is Ahmed Selkida.